Hello and welcome. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Jessica. And this is Pretty Over Perfect.
Today we are prioritizing peace this holiday season by applying our home organization method to the holidays.
That's right. We are reflecting on what has gone well and what has not gone so well in the past in order to set our intentions for the holidays that are in front of us.
We'll also be talking about beautifying our homes, sticking to our budgets and our boundaries, and embracing discomfort so we can also enjoy the joy of the present.
Join us as we talk about orienting ourselves and our families for wonderful holidays, and stick around for clutter-free gift ideas at the end.
Hello, Jessica.
Hi, Michelle, and hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Pretty Over Perfect, the one where we dig into the holidays and helping them work for us instead of kicking against the current that sometimes becomes the holidays. You know, there's the one side of it that feels so exciting and magical, and then there's the inevitable other side where there's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of burden, you know. And after our decluttering episode, our organization episode that we talked about last time about getting our homes in order for the holidays, we thought maybe it would be kind of fun to repeat that method in light of the holiday season. So kind of apply it to our holidays. So Michelle, I'm really excited to dig into this. You know, at the time of recording, we are about 6 weeks away from Christmas. So it's the perfect time. It'll be released, you know, Thanksgiving week, the perfect time to really set our intentions. So let's go.
I was having a conversation with my friend Marcella. Hi, Marcella. And she and I mean, this was over Instagram, but we were talking about how, like, you know, sometimes the excitement of the holidays ends up biting us in the end, right? Like, you get so excited, maybe, and in my case particularly, Jessica, I feel that you are similar. You know, maybe you get all excited to decorate, and then you decorate too early, and then you want to scream because the house is, like, too full of decorations, and, like, it's lost all its magic, and everybody's upset and mad. Because you're upset and mad, because you feel overwhelmed by the decor you put up in your house. And so one of the things that we were just talking about is how, like, even though we're tempted to maybe decorate early, this is a year where I feel more tempted, I think, than in past years to decorate early, because it's been a challenging year for us. And I think we're all just, like, craving some of that, like, Christmas magic. Mm-hmm. I know it's been a hard year for you too, Jessica. But I am still, like, even though I crave decorating early and I don't have a problem with anybody who does, but I know that for myself, if I get into all of that stuff too early on, I will end up really frustrated and hating it too soon. And so, like, just having the self-control to be like, hey, Michelle, you know yourself well enough to know that you're going to enjoy this still at Christmas if you don't decorate too early. And so it's just, we're kind of having some of those conversations with ourselves and with each other of just, like, you know, how can we make these holidays really as wonderful and magical, but also as peaceful as we want them to be by, you know, not overcommitting ourselves and not overdecorating and not overspending, but really, like, coming home to our true priorities of peace and joy and community in the holidays. So.
Right. Right. Because if we don't establish that, then we are literally at the will of whatever ad we see.
Totally.
Right.
Totally.
We are then living out our holidays as all of the businesses in the world want us to, instead of the way that we know is true to us. But we do have to take some time and, just like our homes, kind of understand what's wrong, what we want to change, what vision we have for them, and implement. So that's exactly what we're going to do. So Michelle, why don't you start us off with our first step?
Okay, so just like we talked about with the home, the first thing that we're going to do before even setting our intentions for what we want our holidays to look like, we're going to first reflect on holidays of the past. What went well? What did we really love? And, you know, what was a sticking point? What didn't work well? Maybe this is financial and it's like, look, we overspent our budget last year and that ended up feeling not great come January. Or maybe it's just like that, what we talked about earlier, I decorated too early and then I was upset with the clutter. Or, you know, we overcommitted and we were just exhausted and burnt out. But then also reflecting on the things that we really loved. Oh, we really loved the magic of, you know, hot cocoa in the mornings on the weekends. Or we really loved watching this particular Christmas movie or whatever it is to your family. And I would definitely say involve them in this step. Ask people, what did they like? What was most important to them, or what is most important to them going forward based on what did they really love in the past? And when I ask my kids, you know, I always find fun and like such simple answers from them. So just reflecting on pros and cons of holidays past.
Yeah, I think it's a really good spot to be in right here, time-wise, because we're at least a year, or a little less than, I guess, a year from our last Christmas, right? So we got some space. So what do we pull out pretty easily that went well, like you're saying? And what do we pull out easily that didn't? Like, the space is good, and you can also reflect on Christmas's past and or holidays past, whatever that is for you. But I like the space. I kind of picture myself on Christmas morning. That's what we celebrate over here. And how did I feel about maybe the amount of gifts that I purchased, the type of gifts? How did I feel in that moment? I think I remember thinking, I think I did a little too much this year. I could scale back. Well, this is the time to kind of remember that and stay true to it and implement, right? So I appreciate the time that we have between then and now. Let's use it to our advantage. Yeah. When I think about sticking points in the past that are kind of relevant to other people, was kind of that jump when we felt like we were hauling all of our Christmas presents, all of our children, I think three at the time, you know, from Portland to Utah, and kind of setting ourselves up into someone else's experience. And how I remember just the one year where I was like, this is just simply too much. This is not serving us. This is sucking all of the fun out of it, essentially. And so that had to be kind of something that I learned at that point, that this is now a new phase where we're going to do Christmas in our own home.
Yeah.
Because it just became too hard. Or another thing that both you and I agree on, Michelle, are gift exchanges. There was a time where I was going on Amazon. I was picking out a present for my nephew, and it got sent, and there was no like exchange moment. He just opened it up, and I don't even know. Did he like it? Who knows? Like, there was something there that kind of bothered me. So how can we make the gift exchanges work for us a little bit better? Totally. Right? Like, that's another sticking point. I know you feel the same. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, actually, we just got the... Okay, sorry.
The exchange.
The exchange assignment.
List.
On my husband's assignment. Side of the family... I literally have lost count, but my daughter, who's 14, is the oldest of, I think we're at grandchild 21. So she's the oldest of 21. Maybe it's 19. I don't know. I'm not kidding when I say I've lost count. And I obviously could like do the math here, but, I've lost count a little bit.
It's not an easy number anymore. And, it's grown.
And when my kids were all, you know, babies, my husband's brother and his sister were having babies at like the same time. So we were kind of like a bit of a cohort that kind of, you know, had our babies together. And now the rest of his siblings are having babies, and it's all so wonderful, and I love them all, and it's great. But we don't hang out in the same way that we did with like the older ones or when our kids were younger. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so sometimes I get these, assignments, and I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, there's more people. More people have been born. Wonderful. So I had the temptation the other day. I was in a grocery store. I was in a store like returning something, and I saw a gift, and I was like, oh, I could just buy this and like get it over with for this one person, for this one exchange, because I have four kids and they're all giving gifts at this cousin gift exchange, which they like doing. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that, because what does that teach my child? Like, I want my kid to actually, the whole point of this is that they are involved, right? That they're choosing something for their cousin, and they're, you know, going to try and guess at what they would like. Or, you know, sometimes we ask, the moms will like all ask each other what the person is into and stuff like that. And just make it more personal and meaningful, instead of just like, oh, I just have this obligation to buy somebody something, and so I found something random. Like, if we're going to do that, I would like it to be a little bit more meaningful, because my children are a bit older. But I did have that reflection in the moment of like, not going to take, in this case, not going to take the easy route out, which is just to be like, this is what you got this person. But help them grow into what I want them to eventually be, which would be thoughtful gift givers and people who like love their cousins and try to find out about their interests so they can buy them a meaningful gift. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Those can get tricky.
They can, because many, they can be very, they really can be quite overwhelming. And thinking of that, the other thing I was thinking is, Jessica, you and your husband are both from big families. Me and my husband are both from big families. And I have found that it is often a sticking point of like what we will commit to, because everybody wants to create all of these wonderful events. And life, in my experience, doesn't actually stop for Christmas. So you're just adding that all on. And then if you have twice, you know, if you are lucky enough to both come from big families, you have twice as many things you could be adding into the holidays. And so we've definitely had to talk ahead of time about like, okay, like what is realistic for us to commit to now as very much our own family, and the potential for joyful celebrations on either side of the family. Okay. And yeah, we can't say yes to everything. So how do we do that in a way that's like fair and everybody feels like they got, you know, equal times with their respective families and everything like that?
Which, right.
That has been tricky. And I would say,
time.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's been something that we've grown more into through trial and error with like each family. But, you know, looking back and being like, how could we make that a little bit better for ourselves? And then can we work with the matriarchs or the patriarchs on either side of the family and work out a system that benefits everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think splitting time between families is another sticking point.
Oh my
Overscheduling, goodness. You alluded to that too. Mm-hmm. I've had years where we're wrapping till 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. We've had expectations with Elf on the Shelf, which we've gotten into in years past. Michelle and I have both put that idea on the shelf for now and probably forever. But you're like, it's totally case by case. But anyway, This point is to just reflect. And what is sticky for you? What's getting in the way of the joy and the peace and all those warm and fuzzy potential feelings, right? So What is the sticking point? And reflect.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And maybe this is a good time to pause and just like literally take out a paper or get on your phone, notepad, and just what is it?
Yeah.
What's sticky?
Yeah. Yeah. And your sticky can be, you know, something else that brings somebody else complete joy. I think that that is, for me, one of the big things is that there's so much inspiration and so much of it is lovely. You know, we can see everybody else doing all of these potentially wonderful things. And it's easy to just be like, ooh, I want to do that too. Or that would be great to add.
For sure.
And yes. It comes from a place of joy, but our caution is just to not keep adding, because there will never be an end to what you could add to the holidays. But to really kind of think of, you know, maybe Elf on the Shelf is something that you're like, I kind of like this idea, but the whole thing was too much for me to commit to. Can I change the rules? I mean, the whole thing is made up.
Ahead.
Yes, you can change the rules. You know, that kind of thing.
But be careful.
Be careful.
Be careful when discussing with other people.
Yes.
But also shout out to my one friend who was like phenomenal with Elf on the Shelf and makes it so fun. So again, everybody's situation is different. That's why this is a you thing and not an us thing. And you even vary, Michelle.
Oh,
so it's case by case.
If Elf on the Shelf is like the thing you've been looking forward to since January, like by all means,
then you know.
Do it.
Then
you know. Like that's important. And we've talked so many times about like putting the big rocks in first. If like whatever your big rocks are, you know, make sure those things happen first. And like you get to choose what the rocks are. They can be whatever you want.
Do you want to know what my one of like when I'm saying you look back and what do I pull out quickly that was a really beautiful experience? Mm-hmm. I think my first one that I think about was our Santa Lucia Day, which is a Swedish tradition. And we kind of went in a little bit more last year than we have in the years past. Mm-hmm. And it was a highlight for sure. So that's one of my big rocks I'm going to make sure that gets on the calendar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
lovely.
Okay, let's move to the next one.
I mean, so the next natural step from reflecting is, as we just said, put in your big rocks first. Start setting your intentions for the holidays ahead. And for me, like, you know, this is setting intentions of what I want what we want to be able to feel, what we want to commit to. The budget that we have to spend, not just on gifts, but on the experiences, because I think that's one thing that can really sneak up, is that you have maybe set a gift budget, and then all of these other things that come up in Christmas start to really, really, really rack up. And so keeping that in mind, just kind of really setting the intentions for, like, how are we going to do all of this? And then breaking it down piece by piece. I mean, to me, I like to be pretty specific about my intentions, but I would definitely start with the overarching of, like, what is my main goal? What's my why here? What am I doing? And as, like, the person who gets to create the holidays in my home, what is the thing that I want my kids to have in this experience? And then, like, how are we going to get there?
Love it. This is probably my favorite step. Also, I like to beautify, but I picked up this book called Your Minimalish Holiday, and it's by Desiree Andres, and she is the host of the Minimalish podcast, and I have kind of done a little bit of binge listening. Really recommend, highly recommend her podcast. But anyway, in this journal, it's a journal. Did I say it was a book? It's a journaling book. She is breaking all of these things down a little bit more. She encourages everybody to kind of daydream a minute. If you could paint a picture of the ideal holiday season for yourself, what would it look like? Close your eyes and really spend a few minutes thinking about this. What words, feelings, senses are associated with your ideal holiday season? What do you smell? What do you see and hear? What traditions do you participate in? What parties do you go to or host or skip? And then she talks about the why, like you're saying, Michelle. Mm-hmm. And she says, creating a why might feel overdone. It feels like every expert tells us to create a why before we embark on some kind of habit-building venture or goal. It might feel overused, and we might have heard it 1,000 times, but let's not underestimate the value of it. Yeah. She says, I'm a believer in why because I'm a believer in living more purposefully. Living more purposefully doesn't just happen by chance. We have to think and plan a little bit more than we usually would. This might sound exhausting when it comes to the holiday season, but it really is simple. Just ask why. And I love the visualizing technique and kind of like daydreaming for a little bit about the ideal version of this. And some things that I like to draw out of that exercise is an exercise I've actually brought up on the podcast before, and that's kind of drawing out my three words whenever I'm creating an experience of any kind, even a wardrobe. What three words do I want to describe my holiday season? And that then becomes a really nice filter when you're trying to choose some of those things or prioritize, like we're saying. For me, as I did this exercise, I want the holidays to feel inviting, meaningful, and worshipful. So inviting meaning warm, cozy, comfortable. It means maybe clean, more organized, which I'm working on right now. And I think it includes beauty as well. Mm-hmm. Meaningful, I want to weave traditions in that serve us and serve food, for example, that has a traditional background or some kind of meaning. And like Christmas morning breakfast that I had growing up, I like to serve that to my family as well. I really do like my holidays to be dripping with meaning whenever I can. That's kind of my personality. And so it really makes the holidays feel deep and traditional. And that's what I'm going for. And the last one is worshipful. I want my center to be on the meaning of Christmas. And so when it comes down to it, I'm going to choose that over something else mm-hmm. when I have the opportunity. So I like that exercise because it kind of just gets us to be creative, right? That's kind of what it's all about. And thoughtful and intentional about how we're going to proceed from here going forward. And then, like you're saying, Michelle, and then it helps us be able to break things down and come up with a little bit of a game plan.
Yes, yes. The game plan will be next. But real quick, I just wanted to say, too, that now that my kids are getting older, I got this idea from Brooke Romney, but to have a family meeting where we all talk about what
yes.
one thing is most important to us in the holiday, and then mm-hmm. that is kind of how we start setting our intentions. And one of the things, too, is when you have your why and then you're talking about your why with people, you can really you can really get far as communicating what is important with your family. For instance, you know, if, you know, again, if it's like the budget is needing to shift, maybe communicating that with people ahead of time, I think can help so much as far as just leveling the playing field of expectations. But also, you know, that we went into this family meeting that we had with our kids and we were like, tell us about your favorite things that you get to do. And then that you really like doing in the holidays. And for instance, we have some Christmas movies that we really love watching. And we started talking about that. And then we had a fun ranking system where we were ranking our favorite movies of Christmas and how we like watching them. And, you know, it's dark and cold a lot. So it's a time where more than other times of the year, we might be in together, like watching a movie, but even setting the intention that like these ones are special to us and like all these other ones, I mean, because they've really made hundreds of thousands of Christmas movies by what I can tell. And they keep on making them. And so even like ranking them was kind of fun because it was like, we do really care about these ones and like these ones are not a priority because we also know that as fun as it is to watch Christmas movies, eventually you get to be crabby if you watch too many Christmas movies, right? And you don't spend enough time actually going out and doing life. Not that we ever choose a Christmas movie over doing life. It's more just like in moments of downtime or something like that. But it's still a good reminder that like if we tried to watch every Christmas movie ever made, that would not be a pleasant experience. But we can still like Christmas movies and we can still, you know, watch the ones that are really important to us and are those meaningful traditional ones that, you know, are a hallmark of our holidays for some reason, right? And the ones that we love have a very special connection to our family for some reason, you know, when we talk about that kind of thing. So, but really letting my kids each like say some of the things that they really love and some of the things that they really love, I might have been like, oh, we don't need to do that anymore. Or we did that when they were little and it was like a one-time thing. But then they're like, no, that was really special to me and I would love to redo it. And so if that's a possibility, then I'm happy to make that happen again. I probably wouldn't have ever known it was important to them if I hadn't asked. And so as our family is getting bigger, we're definitely including them in that conversation of what makes Christmas feel magical to you. And then making those things happen become part of our why. And every person gets to say something that is important to them. And even mom gets to have something important for her on the schedule. And in a way that might shift, you know, when your kids are little, it might be like mom is like setting a lot of what's important. And then as like the kids get older, it's more like everyone has a equal share in getting to say what's important. So
I love that. I also think that there can be a lot of contention around choosing a movie. So I specifically think that's a great exercise for anyone of any ages. But I'm glad that you bring that family meeting or that opportunity up to include the children. I think that that's, in my opinion, how the most successful families are run, because everybody is a part of it. And I want everybody to feel like they have a say. And yeah, I still do have a lot of control where I'm at. And there's a lot of the little decisions that, you know, no matter how old your children are, you probably have a lot of say in. But I love that we would include everybody, even if I think it's actually really fun to ask the littler ones what they remember. I mean, my 2-year-old will not remember a thing, but as they get to be, you know, 4 or 5, what did you like about last Christmas? And, you know, ice skating. And so it's okay, great. That's on the priority list. And I love that example, Michelle. And I love that things evolve every year, right? Like we probably give up a little bit more control every year as our children, if you have children as they age and even just the stages of life you are in without children, like things are always flowing. And I think as we just accept that, try to accept that, then we're not caught off guard by things being different, because that's just how life is, right? The only constant thing is change. Yeah. But we can still find beauty in that change and prioritize things.
Totally.
Make sure certain things happen. So glad you brought that up.
And I would, you know, I look ahead to our future as a family, and there's going to be a time when like I am not, when my kids hopefully have their own families, right? And I want to be able to be gracious to them in that time when it's their turn to have Christmas morning at their homes. And I want to be able to be flexible to enjoying the holidays with them in that new way. And so allowing, so like, instead of it just being like black and white, like this is how we do it and then that's how we're going to do it. Like, I'm willing mm-hmm. to adapt and change over time and like build these mm-hmm. things together as a family with really capitalizing on whatever is available to us now and enjoying this season and knowing that this season is special and there's going to be something else special about seasons in the future. And there were special things about seasons in the past. And like, that can all be good. And there can be traditions that pull us through all of those things. Absolutely. But there's no way it's always going to look the same. And if I hold on too tightly to some idea that it needs to look exactly the way I planned, that's setting myself up for heartbreak and for frustrating myself and other people, right? Because we just, there needs to be a level of adaptation. So where is that, like, how do we hold both of those things in our hands, right? Tradition and like just embracing whatever season we have and where can those things and go? And even saying to myself, like, hey, if I say no to this year, it doesn't mean I'm saying no forever. It doesn't mean we will never do this thing that I like doing at Christmas ever again. You know, I can hope for it next year, right? So just holding both of those, all of those things. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one, but it actually gives me a lot of hope and control in a way by just deciding I'm going to make the best of this year's version, mm-hmm. you know, and just decide to have, in my case, the three words that I've decided, like it's the words help me create an experience, whatever the details are, mm-hmm. you know?
Totally.
Okay, let's move on. What is our next step in our, what are we calling this, Michelle? What's this process called?
Well, part of, so in home organization, we called this like installing the system. And I think that we're installing the system for the holidays. We're setting down. We already set our intentions, but now we're like really looking at, you know, I think this is the time when you kind of like pull out the calendar and like the budget and you're like actually writing this stuff down. And this could be, you know, this could be the shortest part of the step, but like really, for instance, when I look at a calendar of the next few weeks, I realize there's significantly less time than I might have envisioned if I didn't look at a calendar. But when you start to pencil in all of the things that, you know, aren't even like negotiable, right? Like all the school things people have or random expectations. I know like for my husband with his business, there are like several holiday parties that he at least needs to be at. And so like those need to go on the calendar. And so when you start to just actually like write them on a calendar, you're like, oh, we don't have as much time maybe as we once envisioned. So that really forces us to focus on, you know, really putting in those big rocks first if we want to capitalize on that time. So discussing with your partner what the budgets are, what each other's expectations are for who's getting what gifts and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I also love the idea for me, right? It's all personal, to break down kind of the when am I going to try to be done mm-hmm. shopping for gifts and when am I going to try to be done wrapping those gifts and kind of breaking it all down and designating a certain time to the certain must do things mm-hmm. so that it doesn't take control. So I think I might implement that this year and I can, it's already, my calendar is already filling up. It's insane. I think I have three events already down. Maybe that doesn't sound like a lot to you, but like I'm an after Thanksgiving Christmas person and I just feel like it's crazy that everybody's already planning all of their little parties, but I suppose we have to compete for all of the days in December. So it fills up fast. So I think this is a very timely thing. Okay. Anything else on that step?
Well, and one thing that I would consider too is mm-hmm. you can say no, whether you need to say no right away or if it comes to it and you need to say no. And I know that none of us, I mean, I guess maybe some people really like saying no, but I'm not like a person who really wants to say no. I'm not going around and being like, no, but
no, you are definitely a yes girl.
I am a yes girl. Person. But you know, when we just look at everything that there is possibly to do, we're going to probably need to say no to some of it, and that is okay. And one of the things that I really love that Brooke Romney said is she was talking about, you know, ask your kids, would they rather have all the magic and all the fun and all the events of Christmas and a grumpy mom? Or would they rather have a little bit less of that and have a calm, at peace mom, a happy mom during the holidays? And like, your kids are going to choose like a happy, at peace mom, right? And like, can we choose that for ourselves? Can we choose to go into the holidays and say, I am only one person and I can only commit to so much. And when I have reached my limit, it's okay for me to say no. It's okay for me to scale back in whatever way. And again, that kind of goes back to those, that first step of like reflecting, you know, were the gifts too much? Do I need to scale back in that area? Whatever it is, just like I should have a wonderful holiday season too. And even if I'm coordinating this for all of these people, it's okay for me to say enough is enough when we get to that point. So,
okay, hold on. We got to put a big pause right here. Can we say that? Well, yeah, if we decide to. So everybody say that right now, wherever you are.
Yeah.
I deserve to have a wonderful holiday too.
I do.
Okay. And I can say no. And how am I going to know where that line is? Your gut will know.
Yeah.
Especially if we've set our intentions and I've done this work, we will know. Sometimes it's hard. And you know what? There's been times in all of our pasts, I'm sure, where we've wished we would have said no. So we're going to learn from those experiences. Let me tell you about one time I wish I would have said no. I had barely moved here and I was open, like invited in to this wonderful group of neighbors that they threw this beautiful favorite things party, and we were to bring two $40 gifts. And I was still a graduate school student at that time. We had no money, and I felt an immense amount of pressure to attend that and bring the most amazing $40 gift.
Yeah.
I actually did figure out a way to not spend $40, but to make it feel really beautiful and fun. And I'm proud of that. But I also learned that pressure, like I knew that wasn't appropriate for my family at that time. And I'm sure if I would have just been open about that, they would have been like, just come anyway and bring whatever and like whatever. But I learned from that experience that I don't want to put myself out, you know, when it just doesn't feel right deep down. It doesn't feel like it's going to serve me at that time.
Yeah.
But we all have those experiences. We just learn from them.
Yeah. And I think it's wonderful to invite, and it's wonderful to be invited, and it's still okay to say no, to say like, I'm, you know, that's not going to work for our family for whatever reason, whether it's financial, whether it's time, whether it's just, you know, we're at the end of our ropes. You know, like you can also consider yourself the protector of your family in that way. And that's going to come to all these tiny little different things for everybody. But, you know, we are at the end of the day all human and we do have limitations. And so, if there's a limitation that you are up against or a situation in which you're just like, I really can't make this work, or I really, you know, I know that there's like, it's kind of tricky. Sometimes it's like, you know, I don't want to make this work. And, but, you know, there comes a time where it's like, yeah, it's okay if you can't make this work. You can decide that for yourself. You know, we're all about community. We're all about showing up. We're all about serving. And we're all about, you know, going to things even when you're slightly uncomfortable. But like when you have real limits, it's okay to say that you've reached them. And this is another reason why I think if you are in a family or with a friend or anything, to like talk these things through so that you have some backup for when that moment comes. So it's not just you making this decision, like I can or can't do this, but you're like, oh, as a family or as a group of friends or as a partnership, we decided that this was our limit and we're going to stick with it. And I think that even though that's countercultural, I think that more people are looking for that permission. To like scale back, because I think that most people probably feel that things have gotten a bit out of hand in the last few years.
Yeah.
We all have to go grocery shopping in this economy, right? Like, inflation is hurting all of us. And so I think that when you give yourself permission, you also give other people permission to say, you know what, I've also reached my limit, or like, let's rethink this. And the limit's maybe not cool, I don't want to ever talk to you again. I'm sure it's not that, right? It's like, hey, can we rethink this in some way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I think the more open and vulnerable you are with people in general, you know, there becomes connection instead of like a wall being built. It's
just
communicate.
Just communicate. Just be honest. You know, we know it's totally easy. Just do it. Okay.
Yeah. Come on. You got this.
But one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot too is just understanding that there are going to be moments of discomfort in the holidays, both like the discomfort caused by like the fear of missing out, right? Like, oh my gosh, they went to Zoo Lights, so now we have to go to Zoo Lights. Or they went to the Nutcracker, now we all need to go to the Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. Or this kid got this gift, now I have to give that to my kid, right? That kind of discomfort. But then I think there's also, you know, there's totally like, you know, sometimes it's about great things. It's like, oh, that family seems so close because they do that wonderful thing. We should add that.
Right.
Right. But then I also think that there can be like the discomfort of just being like, yeah, like bored or agitated or just, I definitely feel like with how much advertising there is in the holidays, you get just sort of antsy about like, oh my gosh, I have to like accumulate more, I guess. And then you have all the stuff that you have to take care of, which we're just trying to avoid that. But going forward, like understanding that those moments of discomfort are going to come. And so then when they get there, when you get to them, they're not a surprise. And you can be like, you know, instead of feeling like, oh my gosh, they went to Zoo Lights and I didn't go to Zoo Lights, just being like, that's wonderful that they went to Zoo Lights. Maybe someday I'll go to Zoo Lights, but I don't have to go this time, you know, if it's not.
That's wonderful they went. And I'm having a wonderful experience over doing something different.
I'm doing something here with my family, or this is what I chose, because truly I believe that
this is what I chose. I like that.
The best gifts we give anybody, my friend Jo, she always says this, my presence is my present. And like, but also make your presence your present. Like if you choose to go somewhere and be at an event, be all the way there. You know, put your phone away. Don't be wishing you were somewhere else. Just be there with those people. And that is like the most precious gift we could give anybody. Because truly anybody can buy anything they want on Amazon. So our time and our attention is actually the most valuable thing we can give people at this point. It's the most valuable thing we can give our children. And they are going to remember us like looking them in the eyes and spending intent time with them more than any gift we buy. Because I don't know about you, but like I remember few of the presents I actually opened on Christmas morning. A few of them.
Everybody says that, but I remember like so many of them.
Really?
It's like the third time someone said this in the last few weeks. I'm like, I must be so weird. I remember them so well. But I think that's a me thing. I'm just like very over aware. So I don't count. Please proceed. I shouldn't have.
Well, I just mean like
in with that.
Okay, so unless you're Jessica, I mean maybe some people are, but like I would say that like what I really remember more than I remember the gifts is I remember, you know, some of the traditions or some of those things. I remember like feeling that sparkle and that magical from the Christmas tree and stuff like that. And so like if I think that that's what matters, then that's what I'm going to pour my energy into. So,
yeah.
And not
just because I remember them doesn't mean I think that was the most important thing that I remember. I just am saying I do remember them. Yes. I'm with you. Traditions trump for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And just those feelings and those moments of discomfort, they will pass. But another quick example of this is my son came home from school and he wanted money to take to the book fair. And like, in general, book fairs are great and wonderful, and often I've sent my kids with money to buy a book at the book fair. But this year, you know, I was just like, you know, I don't think we need to acquire any more books from the book fair. Our house has plenty of books in it. We have a library. We have multiple libraries we have access to. And I was like, I don't think we're going to buy a book from the book fair this year, because I'd have to, you know, let all of my kids get one and everything. And he was like, you know, he brought it up again. Please, can I have money to go to the book fair? And I was like, well, you know, he's gone the least because he's the littlest. Maybe I should let him. And then I asked him what book he wanted. And I was like, yeah, that's not a book that belongs in our permanent collection. That's a library book. So again, I was like, no. And he was like, please, I have nothing to do when everybody else is at the book fair. Like, please give me money so that I'm not bored for 10 minutes. And I was just like, I understand that that's an uncomfortable situation to be in, but I'm not going to buy you out of that discomfort. And then, like, we own this book for the rest of our lives that we don't need in exchange for you not being mildly uncomfortable for 10 minutes. Like, it's okay for you to experience that. Because, like, a lot of life will be not getting everything that you want exactly when you want it. And so, like, I'm willing to acknowledge that that's uncomfortable for you, but I'm not going to just buy you out of that discomfort. Because it's very temporary. And you know what? He's over it. Like, he's totally over it because the moment of discomfort passed and I didn't purchase his way out of it. And when that like example came up so clearly, right? Like where he was just like, I have nothing to do while everybody else is getting their book. I was like, wow, how much as an adult do I buy my way out of that feeling? Mm-hmm. Out of like, oh, I'm slightly bored. I'm slightly uncomfortable. Let's see what I can buy to erase this moment of discomfort instead of like, if I just wait 10 minutes, the discomfort will pass.
Or organize a drawer, remember?
Right? Like, no, exactly. I'm like, or organize a drawer of stuff I already have, get that little dopamine hit and move on.
Put some googly eyes on some piece of food. I mean,
totally. Totally. I've been really focusing on, you know, those like those small moments where I would in the past, you know, pull up, you know, Instagram or whatever to just actually instead like walk outside and like see what my kids are doing. And then I get outside and then I'm like, oh, it's nice and beautiful out here. It's so much better than looking at my screen. So you do generally have to like, you know, it might be helpful to replace that with an action of some kind, but just being aware that like not every moment is going to be perfect and that's okay. And we're just going to be okay with it when it happens.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. So as we talked about in home organizing, we also have beautifying as a section of enjoying the holidays because we love it. But I think that everybody loves it. Like there is a reason people all over the entire world put up Christmas lights, or maybe it's not Christmas lights, but they put up lights in their home when it's dark outside, right? And they cut out colorful banners and they love to beautify their homes in some way during this time where it's dark and cold and we're indoors more often. And when you kind of like look around and realize that these traditions are just very deep in like human culture, you're like, there's something there. There's something that we crave. And I think that a lot of times, you know, if you're living in the northern hemisphere, it's the darkest time of year for us right now. And so we want to bring in that light. We want to bring in that beauty in any way. And so when I think of that as like my goal with like Christmas decorations, you know, it's not about just adding clutter. It's about bringing joy into my home and bringing out the things that I've tucked away that are now special for Christmas, right? Like our Christmas lights and the special ornaments that we've collected, whatever it is, and just really enjoying that feeling of like setting up a home that is like a wonderful experience to come home to. And that becomes, at least in my family, that becomes one of like our main things that we love about the holidays. Even my husband says that one of his favorite things about the holidays is the decorations, because they just create that feeling that like you're home and it's wonderful and it's sparkly and whatever that means to you. But that can be something that we can really lean into. But it doesn't mean that we're just like hoarding Christmas decorations or we're just like buying brand new everything every year or anything like that. But instead just leaning into like the traditional things and the things that we've always loved that are really fun to like pull out again, because it's like, oh, we have so many memories around this.
Yeah,
dear.
That stuff really does become very much a part of the tradition of it all. And I do think we should apply the original decluttering steps to the Christmas decor every year, because surely there's some pieces that aren't relevant anymore or, you know, just as you revisit it, aren't worth packing away again. You know what I mean? There are definitely pieces that will stay as, you know, a treasure forever, but not everything. You know, Michelle, I'm still actually trying to fine tune my Christmas color palette. I think this is so fun. And I just like keep learning a little bit more about myself every year. It's not like you do Christmas every day.
Yeah.
And as you're the one that's creating it, it's definitely fun to, for me at least, to kind of find my brand with it. And, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast long enough, you know that like I'm very much against the traditional red and green and some of the traditional pine scents and stuff like that. As far as I like a real pine tree, I actually have a real tree, but the fake pine, like candles and stuff, they're hard for me because I was pregnant 3 out of 4 years in a row and mm-hmm. sick during Christmas. So that's really like spun me into trying to find my own in unconventional way to decorate as far as colors. Mm-hmm. And, anyway, I'm excited about, I've actually spent time here, you know, every year. This year is no different. Just kind of like thinking through what is my color palette that I'm going to try on this year. And it's definitely a variation. It's not like I'm going 180 degrees different. It's just a little bit of a pivot maybe. Like this year, I'm focusing a little bit more on bringing the forest green along with the ivory that I've decided should stay forever. So I'm having some fun finding different wrapping papers that kind of, you know, play to that and ribbons and things like that. We don't need to keep everything. We don't have to do everything the exact same every year. The point is to create, you know, that beautiful experience, like you're saying, that our families and we enjoy coming home to and being the backdrop to some of these other beautiful moments that can happen. And fighting happens amongst the backdrop as well, but
yeah,
try to keep focusing on the peaceful ones.
Yeah. For me, I like to explore different Christmas or different color palettes at Christmas, but what I don't want is just to buy a bunch of stuff and then throw it away. That's definitely not what I am going for. So what I like
does to that do, seem like that's what I'm going for?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, good.
Okay. No, I just mean like, you know, even if I'm like trying different color palettes, like for a couple of years, I did like pink and red. Pink and red were my like jam and I like love them, which by the way, they're everywhere now. Like I'm always like 2 years ahead of Target and Target is full of pink and red Christmas right now. And I'm like, I was here.
So are you over it now? Like there's nothing there that appeals to you anymore?
No, I still love it. I'm like, no, this is great. Okay. But, I was feeling something else a little bit this year and that's okay. But one of the things that I do is I have gotten better at this. Like I would not say that this came instantly to me, but like over time, you know, if I am tempted to add something to my permanent
collection,
right? Like really just hold it in my hand and like, do I envision myself pulling this out with excitement year after year? Mm-hmm. And over time, I've developed enough of my like instinct of what I like to know, like, yeah, I think that was a phase and I'm like not into that and I didn't like it eventually, right? And I wouldn't like it in the future. I'm just drawn to this because it's pretty right now. And if mm-hmm. it's not something that I can envision bringing out again and again and again, I'm going to not buy it. And, you know, I think like Christmas ornaments can be such a low, like, you know, like the separate ones can be such a low stakes way to like, you know, bring in maybe like a little bit of a fun color. But I also, like you, I love to pick like the ribbon and the wrapping paper of that year and kind of like explore like a color palette that way. Like just like the Christmas presents are going to be whatever color they are going to be that year. And that's kind of fun. I switch out like my art and stuff like that, but I do like focus on things that I'm like, I can envision wanting this to be a part of my collection for a long time. That way I'm not just like buying every, cause like, I don't know what it is about Christmas, but like they make a bunch of cute stuff. Like it could be tempting to just buy it all. And like, there were a couple years where I'd be like, oh, well now I'm into this. And so I'd just be like all new Christmas decorations. No, that's not what I'm doing. Instead, like I want to add, like if I'm going to add, I want it to be like a thoughtful, like, yes, I do think that this is something that we would enjoy for a long time. And now that we've like lived in this house for several years, we know like the Christmas decor that like fits here.
That's gotta be a nice feeling.
It is a nice feeling. Like we're like full up on that. Like we can't add more to it, you know? And so when you get to that point, I realize that like it might take a bit to get to that point. But when you get to that point, just being like, yeah, here we are. And now the excitement is that like we're bringing out the things we already know that we love. Yeah. You know, we don't just mm-hmm. have to throw it away and start with something new just because we saw it on Pinterest that somebody did, or Instagram, whatever people use these days, you know, that somebody did this. Like, that's great. That's fun. They can do whatever they want. But what I don't want to do is like, the other thing that I really envision is packing this up. Am I going to lovingly pack this up, or am I going to hatefully pack this up because I'm so frustrated? Store it too. By
how much. Everything takes up space.
Totally. Which we come back to the container idea. Not to say that all of my Christmas is in one container, but I have the containers that it's in and it can't overflow beyond that. Like, this is how mm-hmm. much space we have to save. We have for Christmas decoration, like anything beyond, like we can't add more to this because it's full. So
yeah,
really just being intentional, because it is, it's so cute. They discount it. They make it seem like it's such a great deal. And you just got to watch out for that, because soon you could be drowning in Christmas stuff.
Yes. Okay, before we move on to our gift ideas, mm-hmm. let's just kind of recap. Yes. So first we're reflecting. What's sticky, and what do we want to keep? What do we want to have stick? Reflecting.
Yeah, so then we have, you know, setting our intentions, using our reflections to go forward and saying, this is what we want our Christmas or our holiday season to feel like. This is our why. These are the things that are most important to us. These are the things we're willing. These are our parameters, but these are also the things that we are willing to say no to for whatever reason. The next step would be, you know, actually installing the system, right? Getting out our calendar and actually like writing down, you know, what commitments we have, what we would like to see happen. You know, if we are in charge of gifts, when do they need to be wrapped? When do they need to be mailed by, if they need to be mailed somewhere? All of that kind of thing, just sort of like really figuring it out. Even, I think we should even be adding like, when are we doing grocery runs for these big events or whatever, because that's its own thing, right? So mm-hmm. really just kind of actually looking at the calendar, and then in that time really realizing like we don't have as much time as we think, so we got to put in the most important stuff first. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then finally we beautify or relish in the beauty of the holidays. We enjoy, we create beauty, and we notice the beauty that is ours, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, let us move along to our closing section, which is our gift ideas.
Yes.
We all know we can send something in 2 days, thanks to Amazon. But what about beyond that? You know, the thoughtful things, the stuff that's not just going to add clutter to our lives, that we just simply don't, I don't need any more clutter at this point. I'm tripping over whatever I have already. So,
yeah.
You know, actually in this book, I didn't know this was here, but I just was flipping through it literally right now. And Desiree from Minimalish, her intentions are to kind of have a more minimal holiday in whatever way we want it to be, but not to be excessive. She says handmade gifts mm-hmm. are great ideas. And sometimes we're afraid of that, but actually that's definitely one of the highlights of my Christmas gift giving. My immediate family, the family I grew up in, we exchange names we already have, and we each make a homemade gift for each other. And it's absolutely one of the highlights. So homemade gifts, secondhand gifts. You can often find brand new items on secondhand websites like Mercari, Poshmark, or even at the local thrift store. There's actually, kind of piggybacking off of her thought, I was listening to one of her episodes and she talks about Tiny Earth Toys. It's a toy recycle program. You can do toy swaps, sell back your toys, and buy high quality, already loved toys. So that's a fun idea. Experience gifts, right? We all love a good experience gift. Tickets to an event, taking a niece or a nephew to a local museum. I don't have time for that. I'm sorry, Sydney and Whitney. One day. But enrollment for a class of some sort. I did that with Eleanor. I took her to an art class once. That was so fun. Consumable gifts. We do love a good consumable gift. Photo gifts and gift cards. And she says, they might not feel meaningful, but I can assure you everyone loves a gift card. Make them more meaningful by getting a gift card to a favorite place of the recipient or somewhere local you think they should try. Yeah, maybe lowest on the thoughtfulness in some eyes here is the gift card, but also it is very practical. And if you have to send something and don't want to add clutter, that's a good way to do it.
Do you want to hear about the best gift card I ever gave? Because yeah. I feel like this is an example of how, like, yeah, gift cards can sometimes... I'm thrilled to get a gift card. So I don't know really why I'm, like, I feel so bad giving them. But sometimes I just feel like, yeah, they don't feel as thoughtful. But I do think that they can really... They can be really thoughtful. So my...
Yeah, they really can. Let's hear it.
My friend Bryn and I, we went to Paris a couple of years ago for, like, the spring break. Not really break because we're adults and we don't have spring break. But... We went there together and it was fun. We'd been planning it for years. We finally went. And then right after we came back, she moved to Boston. And so her birthday was coming up and I was like, what can I give her? What can I send her? And I was just thinking about our time in Paris together. And I was like, I'm going to send her. I was like, surely in Boston somewhere, there is a French restaurant that I could send her a gift card for. And she could go there with her friends or her boyfriend or whatever. And I went to the effort of being like, okay, Boston is big. I knew where she worked and I knew she lived. Well, I had her address. I don't know why I didn't just put in her address, but I put in the address of where I know she works, to find a restaurant near there because I wanted her to be able to get to it. I didn't want to send her somewhere that was like actually really far away and she would never go. And so I went on the website and like, it was like an email and I emailed her the gift card and she was actually in France for her birthday when I sent her this, but she got the email eventually and she was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you gave me this gift card. That is my favorite restaurant. I love it there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, sweet. Like a gift card worked. Like she was thrilled. You know, it reconnected us on this memory that we have together. And even if she hadn't already been there, I knew that it was accessible to her because it was right in the neighborhood that I know that she works. And so gift cards can be fun. They can be really fun. And I think that like using a gift card is like, it's fun because then you're like, oh, well, I get to think about this person and I get to get this thing that I probably wouldn't get on my own or I wouldn't do on my own. And so it's just, it's fun. Gift cards can be nice. Go ahead and give a gift card.
We have your okay. All right.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. Any other gift ideas?
Yeah. For my kids, we've given, you know, I know that sometimes like the coupons for like a date with mom and dad, you know, sometimes kids aren't going to use those. And I wouldn't go for like, you get five, everybody gets five or something unreasonable. But one thing I was thinking is for my kids, you know, one coupon that is like a date with mom or dad at home and one out. And the idea here is that, you know, it's a simple thing, but they can use it to be like, I need your time, right? Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes kids have a hard time expressing that they like just need some time to talk with mom and dad. And when you give them a piece of paper that says, I can like request your time outside of our normal, obviously we're still talking to our kids on a regular basis and stuff like that, but it just kind of gives like them the power to like request something that they might otherwise not feel like they can request. So I like things like that, I think can work well. We often give gift cards to like ice cream shops nearby, even for gifts and things like that for kids because, you know, everybody likes ice cream. And not really clutter-free, but I do think that art supplies can be like low clutter for how much enjoyment and time you get out of them for kids, especially. Like, I don't know. The best gift I ever gave my kids was a set of Prang colored pencils because we think they're the best ones and they just use them so much. And yes, they aren't literally nothing, but they are, have given them hours and but hours of entertainment. But
they're not the art kit that I saw you on Instagram. No. 121 pieces all in one kit. Oh! That's going to last for 1 second in my house.
I don't like kits because the thing with kits is that you get all of these pieces and you don't use them, right? Like you probably, like of 121 pieces, you use 20 and then you have 101 pieces that just get like lost and jumbled. And so I'm not a fan of kids, but yeah. And like we have, you know, every once in a while we buy like acrylic paint because my kids love acrylic paint and now they have a good little collection. And I got them some plastic nutcrackers from the Dollar Tree. They were thrilled, beyond thrilled, that they could paint them with their acrylic paint. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to get 10 hours of entertainment out of this. And to go with that, anything that would send my kids outside. So binoculars, like those little handheld microscopes, like potion jars, anything that would send them outside, which potion jars, honestly, my kids just use the glass recycling. So we don't even have any potion jars, but like anything that sends them outside more often or gives them something to play with their friends, even like a different kind of cool light up ball. All of these things I realize are physical things, but they are like enhancing our lives. Like if you're going to buy a gift, buy something that expands your life. We go running, me and my kids, a couple times a week in the morning, and it's dark now, right? Because we go before school. And so I went online for their safety to find them some like light up things, right? So that they're lit up so they don't get hit
like
by cars.
Headlamps? Or what? Oh, like vests or what?
Well, yeah, like the vests are common. You know, I got like these clip on lights that you can like clip on like the pocket of your jacket. But the thing that I really liked that we found is these like snap bracelets that are light up. So they have like a battery powered piece that lights up. And so they're all like these different colors. And so when we're running in the dark together, it's almost like, I mean, it like looks like we're like playing laser tag because everybody's like in these different like fun colored things. And I was like, this is like so much fun. And it's like also safe and, you know, very minimal in the sense that like this doesn't add a bunch. And like as opposed to neon bracelets or something like that, that would eventually run out and then we just like throw them away. I was like, we can replace the batteries in these and keep using them. And I was like, maybe we should give these to the neighbor kids because they love playing out and riding their bikes and stuff like that. And I'd feel better if they were all lit up anyway.
Everybody needs a bracelet to play.
That's everybody gets a snap bracelet. And like kids love that. And it makes it more fun for them to go do these things. And then it's also encouraging them what I really want them to do, which is to go play outside. So when you are considering gifts, especially for your kids, like give them gifts that are actually going to encourage them to do the things that you want to see them doing and encouraging their gifts that they have, their talents and things like that. And then like, those are the wonderful, to me, the wonderful gifts. And they're like usually the most simple, but
yeah,
so beautiful. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those are great ideas. Good thoughts. Ooh. You kind of hit both sides.
Yes. One more. I'm not totally a fan of all of these things because I know that just like the subscriptions can get too much.
Oh, yes.
They can get to be too much. But my kids have really enjoyed the Crunch Labs subscription. And
wait, what's that?
So Crunch Labs is the brainchild of Mark Rober. He's this guy they've been watching on YouTube who is an awesome scientist. He like worked for NASA for years and then he like has a YouTube channel.
Yeah, he used to live in Mapleton. Yes.
Oh, did he? Yeah. He has a YouTube channel where he's like teaching kids like scientific principles through different experiments that he does. And recently he created his Crunch Labs subscription, which is like one of the things that I really like about it is it's not infinite. It's 1 year. You can buy up to 1 year. That is their progressive toys that like the kids make along with him. And he's teaching them like a scientific principle as they go. So, and like the knowledge builds on itself over time. So my kids, 7 to 14, all work together on one lab and create it. And gosh, lovely. They get so excited when that comes in the mail. And so we bought them a couple months just to try it. And then I asked, my mom was asking what they would want for Christmas. And I was like, I think they would like to extend their year of Crunch Labs because it was lovely. But
that reminds me of the times in the past I've done National Geographic Kids subscriptions for Ollie. And they have honestly, like we forget about magazines, and that is bringing something into our house, but in my opinion that is recyclable and you can move along. And I do feel
a little overwhelmed by books sometimes. So I like this. The kids love the mail. You know, the magazine comes with their name on it. And if you order one about now, it would come before Christmas. So it'd be fun to gift the one and then tell them that there will be one coming every month, you know, thereafter. And it's very fun. I'm going to resurrect that idea this year.
Yeah. Another thing that I love, it could be a gift, but also just like for creating the magic in our home, but not living with clutter forever, is to, you know, buy a Christmas-scented body wash for the shower for ourselves, for our guests or whatever. It just creates that little moment of magic, but then also you don't have to keep it forever. So I like giving those things as gifts or putting them in our own home because it's kind of creates that little moment, but doesn't last forever in your home as something you have to keep dealing with. So
yes, all about both of those things.
Yeah. You probably need body wash anyway, so
you have to wash your body anyway, and you only get to wash it with gingerbread the month of December, so yeah,
you might as well be candy cane scented in the
might
in Christmas
as well. Okay, well, those are some wonderful ideas, and I don't know, are we doing a I don't think we'll be doing a gift episode at this point, but maybe we can come up with a little gift guide at some point between now and Christmas or something. Well, this has been very enlightening and very helpful for me as I'm kind of posturing myself to get into the holiday groove, and I'm excited to put a little bit more intention on the front end so that I become in charge of it in the ways that I can and not just, you know, at the beck and call of whoever's in front of me on Instagram. So
yes,
appreciate this decluttering method, and I'm excited to apply it. Michelle, what about you?
Yeah, I'm excited to prioritize just peace and togetherness with my family. Like, that's the best gift that I can give them or myself. And togetherness with my friends as well. Like, how wonderful. I do love that the holidays are such a good excuse to get together. And so I want to be focusing on that this holiday season. And I'm excited to do that now, empowered to do so.
Let us go forth, everyone, and good luck in your corners creating the magic that you want.
Yes.
The experience that you want. And until next time.
We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.